my friends, and welcome. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited to have you with us here this evening. It is Monday, February 12th, 2007, about 1 minute past 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. What can I say? It's another Monday, right? It's been relatively warm here, I think, for the most part here today in Northwest Arkansas. I got a little bit of rain going on nonstop and expected to have some wintry conditions here this evening. So obviously it's not too bad here, considering that the other places that have it far, far worse, such as a place, I think it's called Redfield up in New York, I think they got 12 feet and 2 inches, and they're expected to get more this week. It is out of control. But again, we talked a little bit about this global warming situation last week a little bit. And again, I think the main concept here is this. When you think about global warming, you think about the temperature being warm, about this this whole scenario where everything would be toasty warm and tropical and whatnot, and potentially, really bad, but at the same time, not as bad as this perpetual winter wonderland that some places are facing right now. So again, the main concept here to understand is that, the water warms up, it goes up into the atmosphere, and of course, then you have more wet air that, of course, can be conducive to snow and different things like that. So this is actually supporting a global warming concept, but it does fly in the face of all-out global warming to the point where everything melts, and then we've got this huge, scaldingly hot planet. It doesn't work that way, okay? And we talked about that a little bit last week, too, that the science for this is somewhat shoddy and not really surprising at all, really, when you think about how science works, typically. Anyway, we have a very, very fascinating guest for you this evening. I'm excited that he'll be joining us after the first break. He has probably written one of the best books for my taste as far as filling in gaps and making connections. I think this book is almost unparalleled. It's fantastic. It explains so much. And, I think that when you guys hear him on the air this evening, that you're going to be blown away by a lot of it. Some of you may be horrified, some of you may be shocked, some of you may be offended, some of you may be delighted, but I guarantee you'll be entertained. The book is called The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse. The author, Dr. Patrick Heron, he's been on the show a number of times, actually, not on my evening show, but certainly on the morning show, and I think he's going to blow your minds here this evening as well. It should be a lot of fun, and we will we'll do our best to get to some calls once we get time to sort of get the core parts of the information out there for you, okay? So it's really fascinating stuff. But let's talk about some required bits of information, things you may not know, things you certainly need to know. The shortwave frequency to listen to this program, 3.215. To listen online, you can listen at republicbroadcasting.org or at franklyspeakingradio.com, our website there. And the call-in number, always, always, always important, 800-313-9443. Toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. So, all of that having been said, I'm looking forward to an entertaining week here on the program, looking forward to hopefully getting to some of the calls that we had to strand last week on the program. I apologize for that, but I am not in the habit of rushing anybody off the air who calls in, quite simply because I think that everybody has something to contribute, otherwise they wouldn't be trying to, right? So, it's just the way the show operates, but we, of course, have plenty of time. Having a four-hour program 5 days a week affords us a great opportunity to do open lines and things of that nature, so maybe we'll do that tonight. We shall wait and see. But in the interim, when we come back from this break, hopefully we'll get our technical difficulties worked out, and hopefully we'll have our guest on the phone, Patrick Heron, and more Frankly Speaking Radio when we return in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Watch me! Watch me! I got it! Watch me! I got it! Something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got soul and I'm super bad. I got soul and I'm super bad. Now I got a move that tells me what to do. Sometimes I tease. Tell me what to do. Sometimes I feel so nice, I wanna try myself a few. I got soul and I'm super bad. I'm love. I love to do my thing. And I don't need no one else. Sometimes I feel so nice. Good God.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. It's Monday evening, and it's a nasty night outside. A little on the chilly side, but more on the rainy side. Expected to get colder as time goes on, and I'm not happy about that at all. It's just one of those things, right? And we talked about the global warming thing last week quite extensively, and not a whole lot, not a whole lot new, I guess, in that area. But it's very, very intriguing times that we're living in here, folks. Some people would say this is the end times, and some would say that things happening now are happening on such an unprecedented level that this is surely a time in history where things are changing more now than they ever have in the past. And then there are people who would say, well, you know, at every era, at every time in human history, there's always people who are saying exactly those words. And to be honest with you, they're probably right. But when you think about it, I don't care what time, what era of history you look back on, even if you live through it, I can guarantee you that if you're aware and plugged into things that are happening now, then you know that this is truly unprecedented, that the things that are happening with such a fierce rapidity that surely truth is more needed now than ever before. And I think that's certainly where we're at. I think this is certainly the time to be discussing such things. And as I mentioned to you all previously, this book that my guest has written here is one of the most amazing books I've ever read, because it certainly filled in so many different pieces of the puzzle and allowed me to see a deeper and more comprehensive overall picture than ever before. And I will always, always, always be eternally in his debt for this. I would encourage you to go to his website. It's www.nephilimapocalypse.com. I'll spell it at some point later in the show. And, of course, the book that we'll be referring to here this evening is entitled The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse. Please welcome to the program the author of the book and a great, great man, certainly been a great friend to me, Dr. Patrick Herron. Welcome, Patty, to the show.
Hiya, Frank. How are you? Lovely to talk to you again and to all your listeners.
Greetings
from the Emerald Isle.
Yes, well, it's certainly very exciting for us to be chatting with you. I appreciate you staying up late or getting up early, as the case may be, to be on the program with us. What time is it over there in Ireland?
It's just gone after 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's pitch dark outside. It's just wonderful to get up at 4:30 in the morning on a dirty, old, dark, cold, freezing, you know, wintry morning to speak with you, Frank.
Well,
it's always a pleasure. It's no problem. I've done it before, so I'll be going back to bed right after this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I certainly appreciate it. And if your information wasn't so vital and so important, I certainly wouldn't be inconveniencing you as such. But to me, this is a requirement because, as I had stated at the beginning of the show and certainly just now, you know, your book contextualized so many things for me in a way I hadn't expected. I had no idea that some of the areas that I had, you know, explored in my own personal interest, some of the things that have always fascinated me and held my attention, could be such a vital component to the overall picture. And you filled in the gaps for me in ways I had never expected. And like I said, for that, I'll always be grateful. This is an astounding work, this book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse. So we should probably start with the Great Pyramid, which is where the book begins. What led you to investigate that and sort of obviously sort of put you on this road?
Well, I've always been fascinated with, like many people, both Christians and also secular people, Frank, with a lot of the incredible anomalies and enigmas there are around the world, such as the Great Pyramids of Giza, Stonehenge, the buildings out in Machu Picchu and Guatemala, the Mayan pyramids out there, Angkor Wat in Cambodia, all those heads in Easter Island. In fact, I was reading something about all those heads in Easter Island. There's over 900 of those heads out there, believe it or not. I used to think there was like 12 or 16 or 18 or 20 or something.
Yeah.
Apparently, they've found over 900 of them. They can't even excavate most of them.
Wow.
And there's just scores and scores of these in ancient monuments all over the world. We have our own stuff here in Ireland, for instance, the ancient passage tomb of Newgrange in Ireland, which has one little passageway into it. A fantastic structure. There's loads of mounds out there, but on the 21st of December, every year, when the sun rises, it illuminates the inner chamber in there, just on one day in the whole year. And actually, interestingly enough, before I forget it, it's also, I believe, on the 21st of December 2012 that the Mayan calendar apparently stops. And a lot of people think that that's when the world is going to end, on the 21st of December. And it ties in with the one day in the year when the sun illuminates the inner chamber in Newgrange in Ireland. And we've over 1,400 passage tombs here in Ireland, plus lots of other dolmens and other, you know, souterrains and various other things like that. So I was always fascinated by this, and many people in the world are too. And that's why these programs on Discovery Channel, for instance, are so, you know, so popular with people. And I knew that there was no way primitive man or ancient Egyptians built these incredible monuments, because engineers and architects today freely admit that we could not, with all our technology, all our science, all the machines that we have, we couldn't build the Great Pyramid of Giza, for instance. And yet we're asked to believe that primitive ancient Egyptians wandering in the desert dressed in animal skins somewhere between the Stone Age and the Bronze Age were able to construct this incredible pyramid. Yet somehow these same guys had not figured out how to invent the wheel.
Yeah,
you know, it's a bit ridiculous, and that's why when you see documentaries on TV, they're always dragging these huge blocks along the ground, which is total rubbish, you know, because if we get into some of the facts and figures about it, you'll see. So I was fascinated, and also being a biblical student, I knew a little bit that there was a little bit of information in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures about a mysterious cabal of people, beings called the Nephilim, or Nephilim, N-E-P-H-I-L-I-M, the Nephilim, which means the fallen ones. So, this is my third book. I got a little inkling about the Nephilim from the Companion Bible by E.W. Bullinger. He has two little appendices on them at the back of his Bible, and he actually suggests in his appendices that these might be the answer to a lot of the conundrums in the world regarding all the huge buildings and stone monuments all over the place, and that was the kernel for me. So I sat, I decided to write this book, and when I sat down, I probably knew about 30% of what I knew at the end of the book, and there was so many other things were filled in during the writing of the book.
Wow.
Which just goes to prove that when you step out of the boat and go to walk on the water, then things will happen for you once you push out, and you act on your faith and walk out there.
Amen.
And, God has allowed me, which is a great testimony to his grace and his mercy, because I'm a sinner, to write this book, which has blessed so many, many, many people, Frank. And I'm thankful to you, because my book was number one prophecy seller in the Amazon, or prophecy section of Amazon Books, for almost 2 years.
Wow.
And you allowing me to come on and speak about it has helped in that. And since I spoke to you last, I think one of the top 10 publishers in the United States have bought the rights to the Nephilim.
That's wonderful.
They have it in books, and it's selling very, very well. I got the publishers, they're Kensington, and they have the machinery to get it out onto shelves properly, because I self-published myself 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the book into the bookshops just before Christmas, and about 3 weeks ago, he told me it was selling very well, and that they'd shipped the first 10,000 copies, and they were looking at a reprint in February. So it's gone out there, and three different people have written to me and told me that it's the best book they ever read.
Well, Bible aside, it is way up there, my friend, and this is really what has fascinated me for so long. You know, when I was growing up and even in college, I pursued archaeology as an interest of mine. And one of the things that always captivated me was these anomalies that are, as you said, scattered all over the planet. These things that we can't describe today, as you said, with all of our science, all of our technology, and how we sort of lift ourselves up as such a brilliant and accomplished race. Not only can we not explain them, we can't duplicate them today. So how is
Absolutely.
It? That
well, let me give your listeners, for those of you that are not familiar with this subject, a few facts and figures about the Great Pyramid
yes.
of Giza, which are just amazing when I learned of them too. First of all, the Great Pyramid of Giza, it's situated almost exactly in the dead center of the world. It's halfway between the northern Cape of Norway, the southern tip of South Africa, the west coast of Mexico, and the east coast of China, and it intersects the 30th parallel, both longitude and latitude. Originally, it was finished in a polished white limestone, which means it would have been impossible to surmount way, way back then, some 5,500 years ago. And some legends say that it's pyramidion, it's capstone, the tip of it was finished in gold. Mm. So it would have been white, gleaming in the morning sunlight. You could see it from as far away as the curvature of the earth permitted. An absolutely awesome sight back then. The length of each side of the cubit, or of the Great Pyramid in cubits, is 365.2422 cubits, which just happens to be the exact length of a solar year. The angle of the slope of the Great Pyramid rises at 10 to 9. That is, for every 10 feet you go up the side, you rise in altitude by 9 feet. And if you take the height of the Great Pyramid and multiply it by 10 to the power of 9, you get 91,840,000. And that sounds like a break coming up.
Yes, it is. I apologize, my friend. Folks, please stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned. And again, plan on staying right where you are for the next 2 hours, because our guest, Dr. Patrick Heron, is going to blow your mind. More Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered. Our esteemed elders are euthanized. and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free. 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. It is Monday evening, and what can I say? A fantastic source of information, somebody that I guarantee you is going to change the way you look at the world around you, because the world around you is vital to understanding the world to come, and nobody has a better handle on it than my guest this evening, Dr. Patrick Herron, author of the book The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, which we're speaking about now. Patty, welcome back, sir, and please continue. We were discussing about the height of the Great Pyramid and the 10 to 9 ratio.
Absolutely, yeah. I was just saying that if you go up every 10 feet, you go up the side of the Great Pyramid, you rise in altitude by 9 feet. The angle of the slope is 10 to 9. If you multiply the height of the Great Pyramid by 10 to the power of 9, we get 91,840,000, which again just happens to be the exact distance from the Earth to the Sun in miles. Each side of the Great Triangle, or the Great Pyramid, rather, is an equilateral triangle, which faces exactly to the true north, south, east, and west. In fact, there are two what they call star shafts on the north face and on the south face, which pointed 4 distinct star signs, Draco, Sirius, Orion, and Beta Ursa Minor. And I've identified 3 out of the 4 of these with gods. That's gods with a small g in my book. There's enough stone in the Great Pyramid to build a 6-foot wall from New York to Los Angeles. If it were a skyscraper, it would be 42 stories high, which meant it was the tallest building in the world for millennia until, you know, you guys built some of those skyscrapers over there in New York. Now, listen to this, Frank. The solution to the mathematical problem of how the square, the circle, is incorporated within the geometry of the Great Pyramid of Giza. You know what? The solution to the mathematical problem of how to square the circle. If you gave me a compass and a pencil and a piece of paper, I wouldn't be able to figure out that. Yet it's incorporated into geometry. Yet we're asked to believe by the experts and the Egyptologists, so-called, that, you know, ancient Egyptians built this incredible, amazing structure with all the engineering feats, with all the incredible maths involved in it, the astronomical alignments, etc., etc. Yet these guys, as I say, had not yet invented the wheel, which is ridiculous. And not too far away, up the road, we have the Temple of Jupiter in Baalbek in Lebanon, and looks like, again, like a typical Greek temple, but it's got three huge cut stone foundation blocks, which weigh 900 tons each, which is like 2.5 jumbo jets together. And lying not far away out on the ground is another huge hewn cut stone block called the Stone of the South, which is 1,000 tons weight, almost three jumbo jets together in weight. Again, we don't have a machine today that could pick that up willy-nilly and move it around the place. But we're asked to believe that the ancient Egyptians, you know, they cut it out with their little hammers and chisels and threw ropes around it and drug it around the place. It's ridiculous. So the point is there's something else going on. There's some other meaning to it. Not only that, but the Great Pyramid of Giza holds a key, a sort of a to one of a very old prophetic verse that's written in Isaiah 19:19, which I may as well mention now. And if there's any of any Bible students out there, write down Isaiah 19:19. And it says in there, it says, "In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt." So it says, in that day, and that, once you see the expression, in that day, it's always talking about the last day, the Lord's day, the day of Christ, the day of judgment, the day of wrath, the day of tribulation, the day of Jacob's trouble, all the same thing. It says there should be an altar to the Lord in the midst or the middle of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. Now, how can be something be on the border of a land and in the middle of the land at the same time? Well, in order to be able to understand this, you've got to know a little bit about the ancient history of Egypt. And in ancient times, Egypt was split into two pieces. There was Upper Egypt and there was Lower Egypt. And it was divided by a border. And this border ran through the middle of the country, which went just across the apex of the Nile, where the Nile broke up into fingers and went out into the Mediterranean. And the only thing that's an altar and pillar in the middle of this land of Egypt and is on the border at the same time is, of course, the Great Pyramid of Giza. And it said it should be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. So what is the Great Pyramid of Egypt a sign of, and what is a witness to in the land of Egypt? Well, I'll tell you the answer to that in a little while in the future. But before we do that, I think we should maybe talk about the Nephilim. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We are coming up on a break here in about less than a minute. So if you'd let me just
read out where it first talks about the Nephilim, which is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, where it says, "There were Nephilim in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them." And it says, "These became the mighty men which were of old, men of renown." So there was Nephilim in the earth in those days. In the King James Version, it says there were giants because they didn't know what Nephilim are. Nephilim comes from Nephal, meaning to fall. The Nephilim are the fallen ones, the fallen angels of Genesis 6, who fell to earth, had sex with ordinary mortal women, and they produced offspring for them. But these were no ordinary offspring, for they were giants in size and giants of evil. And this is where we got a lot of our giants in the Old Testament.
Absolutely. Let me ask you to hang on here, Patty. We got another quick break here, folks. I apologize, but we'll be back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. And we're spending the first half with our good friend, Dr. Patrick Heron. Patty, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Frank. I'm here.
Hey, man. I appreciate it very much. And we certainly have a lot to get into. When we left off, we were just sort of delving into the Nephilim. Who are they? Where did they come from? Why are they important? And I think what you had sort of started out with is saying that these guys might be the ones responsible for these achievements, which just physically, mentally, intellectually impossible for humankind, and yet there they are.
Absolutely. I just quoted Genesis 6:4, which talks about that the first time the Nephilim are mentioned in Scripture in Genesis 6, where it talks about the Nephilim, the fallen ones, what you and I would call fallen angels coming to earth and taking human mortal women to wife and having offspring via them. Now, I don't like the word angel, as you know, Frank, because it conjures up totally a wrong mind picture for people.
Yeah.
People either think of a little naked cherubim with no genitalia and a bow and arrow trying to shoot somebody in the heart, or
right.
else they think of some guy with long blonde hair and big 20-foot wings and spotlights behind him and maybe orchestral music in the background or something.
Yeah.
But when you go and study the appearance of these guys, and a better translation of the word Malak in Hebrew and Agalos in Greek would be messenger or agent,
mm-hmm.
because angel, as I say, throws us off. The, But when you look at where these guys appear, and they appear all over the place, the word angel comes in over 300 times in the whole of Scripture. But when these guys appeared, they always appeared as men. They're called men. They look like as men. They've been mistaken as men, mistaken for human beings very often. They eat, they drink, they wear clothes. And I said, apparently, these guys, when they fell to earth, they were able to have sex with ordinary women. Now, these were fallen angels. These were part of the one-third of the band that rebelled with Lucifer, with Satan, and trying to usurp the throne of God way back then in a military coup. But, of course, they weren't successful in that coup. Mm-hmm. But a band of these guys, in fact, according to the Book of Enoch, there was a band of 200 of them fell to earth. They came into some form of physical concretion. Now, I say that word physical with inverted commas around it. We don't know exactly what it was, but we're told that they left their original spiritual abode, their spiritual body, whatever that was. We don't understand these things, but they are still spirit men. You and I are flesh and blood, but these people are spirits, and as I say, they look like ordinary people. And this ties in with Genesis, where it says three times, it talks about God creating man. It says, let us make man in our image. In the image of God made he man. And we're told once in the Epistle of James that we are made in the image of God as well. So we look like these people. They look like us. Extremely good looking, because they were originally sons of God. So you can bet that they were good looking guys. They fell to earth, spirit men, had sex with these women, and produced these monsters, these offspring who were giants in size and also giants of evil. Mm-hmm. And these guys were knocking around, according to my calculations, for up to 1,000 years before the flood of Noah. In fact, it precipitated the flood of Noah. And they infected the whole of the DNA, the whole of the gene pool, of the whole of the human race at that time, to mm-hmm. such a degree, it says in Genesis 6, there was only evil in men's hearts always. And the whole earth cried out because of the bloodshed and the violence. Mm-hmm. The Book of Enoch, as I say, filled in a lot of the blanks that we don't have in Genesis. And Enoch, as you know, there was only two or three verses about him in Genesis. He was the father of Methuselah, the grandfather of Noah, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he was taken away to heaven. He walked with God, it says, and he wrote this book, which is very, very, not very well known. But this book is quoted directly in the Book of Jude. And mm-hmm. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So we must give this book some credence. And yes. It fills in lots and lots of the blanks that we don't get in Genesis. So we're told these guys came to earth. We're told that they were irresistible to women. They had a lot of power, their spiritual power, magic, charming, beautiful, strong. Introduced humankind to violence, to making weapons, to women coloring their eyes and their lips, to aborting fetuses in the womb, to making swords and weapons of war and destroying one another. And it says that they devour mankind and devour the goods of mankind. And when they'd done that, they'd started devouring men themselves. It says even to the point where they were drinking their blood.
Right.
That stuff is still going on today. And that's who these guys were. These were the gods with a small G
mm-hmm.
of old. And, of course, this is where we get our Greek and Roman mythology from, where it talks about the gods came down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in Mount Olympus and Delphi. We had Zeus coming down, who took alchemy into wife, a mortal woman, and she almost died giving birth to Hercules. So this is where all this stuff comes from. And, of course, any historian will tell you that legends have their genesis and their origins in truth.
Yes.
It's just that the stories become distorted somewhat as they come down through the generations.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, we're told that these guys were so violent, they filled the whole world, everybody in the whole world, whatever, 20, 30 million people perhaps at that time, were infected with these, except for Noah and his family. It says Noah was the only one who was pure in his generations. And they were saved through the flood. God got fed up with this people. He said, it's grieved me that I've made mankind. And he sent the flood, what's been called the flood of Noah, wiped everybody out, wiped all the humans out, wiped all these giants out, the progeny of these Nephilim, these fallen angels, these spirit men. But of course you can't drown spirit men. And mm-hmm. we're told that these spirit men are locked up in a subterranean prison, which is called in the scripture, it's called the bottomless pit, it's called the deep, it's called the abyss, and once in the Epistle of Peter it's called Tartarus, or mm-hmm. Tartarus. And again, this ties in with the Tartarus of Greek and Roman mythology, where we're told that the gods are imprisoned because they rebelled against Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
And it ties in with the underworld, the netherworld, the abode of the dead, of Egyptian pyramid texts, the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Again, where we're told that the gods are imprisoned and Hades is the keeper of the underworld and you've got to cross the river Styx to get to it. And interestingly, we're also told in Peter that the Messiah, Jesus, in his risen body, when he had a new spiritual body and he could disappear in and out through walls and things like this, it said he went and preached to these spirits who caused the sin in the days of Noah. And the word for preach there is caruso, which means he heralded his triumph over them. The same word would be used of Roman generals, for instance, returning and parading their captives and their treasures that they brought for some far-flung campaign before the citizens of Rome. They parade their triumph over them. Well, Jesus did this in his risen body. That's why it says in Ephesians, what is it first but that he descended into the lower part of the earth? Mm-hmm. Most people think that means he died.
Yes.
It doesn't, because he went into a tomb and it was above ground as far as I remember.
Yeah.
He went to these guys and they're down there somewhere under our feet and they've been there since about, 2000 BC.
Mm.
But they're coming out again. And he preached, he heralded his triumph over them. As I say, he appeared to them, he said, here I am, boys, all your plans have come to naught, I'm up from the dead, your goose is cooked and I'll be back, or words to that effect.
Absolutely, I love that.
And he did that, and the interesting thing is, according to Revelation chapter 9, and we'll talk about this in the next half of the section, I think, Frank, because I have some really, really interesting stuff about the return of these guys, because they are coming back to earth again. And in Revelation chapter 9, we're told that this bottomless pit is opened, these guys are released again onto the earth, and that the king over these guys, they have a leader over them, and in fact I have it right here, it says, and they had a king over them who was the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue is Apollyon, A-P-O-L-L-Y-O-N. And of course, Apollyon is how the Greeks spell Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
And Apollo, as you and I know, was one of the original leaders of the original pantheon of Greek gods, along with Mars, Mercury, Zeus, Poseidon, Pluto, etc. And we had some female Nephilim, I believe, too, like Athena, which Athens is named after, Demeter, Hera, etc., etc. I think there are female in this. Interestingly enough, female angels are only mentioned once in the whole Bible. I think it's in Zechariah, chapter 5, and it describes them as having wings.
Oh, wow.
And very often in some of the paintings from the friezes in Egypt and the temples there, you will see females with wings, which is interesting enough.
That is interesting.
But most of the time, it's just men.
Yeah.
And I don't believe they have wings at all. And these are possibly, these female fallen angels are possibly what we call in Greek mythology the sirens. And the sirens were the ones who used to entice the sailors to their death and shipwreck on the stones.
Mm.
And that could possibly tie in with what we have here in Ireland, where it talks about the banshee over here.
Yeah.
And
that's
we were always told about the banshee, that you would hear her wailing and combing her hair. And if you saw one, or if she threw her comb at you, you would die. Or if anybody heard it and there was a knock on the door, then somebody was going to die.
Yeah.
That's possibly who they are. And it might tie in with who is called in the Book of Revelation the Whore of Babylon.
Mm.
And it's mentioned in Isaiah as the Lady of Nations and the Queen of Heaven. This woman that appeared in Lourdes and Medjugorje and Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe, I think she's called. I used to say that this wasn't Mary, the Mother of God. This was Satan in drag. But now I don't think it's Satan in drag now. I think it's one of these female fallen angels. This beautiful-looking woman, the Lady of Nations, the Queen of Heaven. And maybe she's going to appear in the Book of Revelation, and she's called the Whore of Babylon, who fornicated with the kings of this earth. Now, it can mean other things, too.
Yeah.
I think Mystery Babylon has dual purposes, dual prophetic purposes, or maybe more than that, but it could very possibly be an actual female woman. And by the way, Mary is very, very much acceptable to them, to the Muslims. She's been mentioned several times in the Quran, and very acceptable, and she might be one to start to come down and broker a peace in this coming future between the Jews and the Muslims and everybody else.
Wow.
So watch this space,
Yeah.
But that's some of who the Nephilim are, these fallen spirit men, beautiful-looking guys. And, of course, there was... Sorry, Frank.
Oh, it's all right. Patty, I just wanted to touch on one thing here. I mean, when we're talking about fallen angels, okay, that means these...
you know, these guys, these men and women, they were in God's company. I mean, they were there. They know what's going on, and they have a pretty good handle, excuse me, on innovations, things that if you think about it, I mean, honestly, if you were to go back in time, Patty, with, let's say, a lighter or something, you might amaze them, and they might think you were magic. So, you know, here you've got a situation where these guys are, you know, they've been in God's presence. They surely have, as you had mentioned, mathematical skills and engineering skills, and that's how they're able to do these things. Which I think is very, very important, and we'll get into that a little bit more as the show progresses. But one of the things that I thought was fascinating, it's Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 33, where you have in the book that there's evidence of genetic engineering, not necessarily of people, but of fruit.
Well, that's just an assumption on my part, because you remember, as mm-hmm. I was going to say, there was a second eruption of these fallen angels mm-hmm. after the flood of Noah.
Yeah.
And when Moses brought the people of Israel out of captivity in Egypt, he sent the 12 spies in to spy out the promised land. And when they came back there, 10 out of the 12 said, there's no way we can take this place. They said, we saw the Nephilim there. We saw the sons of Anak, which come of the Nephilim. And it said, compared to them, we were like grasshoppers, and there's no way we can take this. Mm. And they brought back one cluster of grapes between them, because Moses told them to bring back some of the fruit of the land to see what it was like. And this one cluster, it was so big that the two of the spies had to carry it on a staff between them. Mm. Now, I speculate there that they were into genetic engineering, and that they were making these grapes were very, very big, because big people need big food.
Yeah.
But not only with the fruit, but also, if you look at a lot of the pictures, Frank, from around that time, from Samaria, and mm-hmm. look at a lot of the friezes, which the friezes are what they call those pictures or images you see on the temples in Egypt. A lot of times you'll see half animal, half human being, monster-looking creatures. I've got some pictures in my book from a thing called the obelisk of Salmaser III, which is in the British Museum, mm-hmm. which I saw with my own eyes. And it has all these lots and lots, scores and scores of these little engravings on it, on each side. It's a four-sided thing, and it's about 5.5-6 feet tall. And most of them look like ordinary pictures of men and horses and soldiers and cavalry, you know, elephants, things like that. But then you'll see a couple of things where there's men leading these animals, which has a human head, and mm-hmm. the rest of it is an animal. It looks like a man,
sure.
half man, half animal, or another monkey that has legs and feet. There's several of them. And then if you go to Egypt, you'll see things like sphinxes, which are all over the place.
Yes.
I saw one of these, in fact, in a temple just on the Nile, and it was one man who looked like a god presenting to another god on a throne this platter, and on it was a baby sphinx, and it looked for all purposes like a human being of about 3 years old, a young boy with a lion's body. It looked like a photograph.
Wow.
And you're thinking, well, now, hold on. If this is just a statue he's given him, what's the big deal? But if
yes.
it's actually real, and of course we're told in Genesis that they sinned with birds and with animals and fish.
That's
and it
right.
also says in Genesis 6 that God wiped out all the animals and the creeping
yes.
things and the fish. And I used to think, well, why is he taking it out on the animals? I think they were messing around with the genetics of animals then. And the only sin I think you can think of is a sexual sin. Mm-hmm. And they were coming up with these monsters. And, of course, we have, again, in Greek and Roman mythology, we have beings like Pan, and there was a place in biblical times called Caesarea in northern Palestine. Prior to that, it was called Banias. Prior to that, it was called Panias, or the place of Pan. And there are still niches around in the hills in those places, and this is where apparently Pan lived. And he was half man, half goat. And he was the guy who used to hang out with the satyrs, these other half men, half animals. And they would get together with the nymphs, where you get the word nymphomaniac from, and have a big sexual orgy and get drunk. And then halfway through the orgy, he would lose his head, lose his temper, and slaughter a few of them, and the rest of them would run. And then that's where we get the word panic from, or pandemonium. And interestingly, that's spelled pan, D-E-M-O-N, pandemon.
Wow.
So that's where that comes from. And we, as I say, we have centaurs who are half man, half horse. And these are recorded in other histories that these people actually existed. I mean, why would they have pictures of them all over the place
right.
if they didn't exist?
Well, so, exactly.
Yeah,
and as you mentioned,
with the genetics.
Yeah, the Egyptian gods. I mean, you've got Anubis with the jackal head, and Horus with the falcon head. I mean, there's something to this, as you had stated. Why is it that they would have these common images carved everywhere and in the hieroglyphs and in all the paintings and whatnot? And the thing about it that I think is so interesting, Patty, they always look the same. Now, if I took two children, for example, who had maybe never studied any sort of mythology, and I said, make a half man, half horse, they would, I guarantee you, they would draw them differently. But when every single image is exactly the same, it seems, and I think it logically stands to reason, that these things were witnessed with human eyes and transposed into some sort of record.
Absolutely. And we're also told, too, in the Book of Enoch, that these guys, when they changed, they took on various images.
Mm.
Right? And yeah. Funny you should mention Horus there, who the guy with the falcon head, because yeah. Over in South America, they had Viracocha and Quetzalcoatl.
Oh, yeah.
Then in Cambodia. So
yeah.
The same birdman.
Hang on a second, Patty. Another quick break here, folks. I apologize. Time is going by quick, as it always does here on the show. Stay with us. More from Dr. Patrick Heron and more Frankly Speaking Radio in 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Thank you.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio Monday evening. And let me remind you, of course, this hour is being brought to you by Howard Creek Resort, featuring 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to a multitude of recreational activities as only the natural state of Arkansas can offer you. Howard Creek Resort is a perfect family vacation spot any time of the year. Please visit them on the web at www.howardcreek.com or call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. Let's get back to our good friend, Dr. Patrick Heron, or as I call him, Patty. He's joining us all the way from Ireland up early to talk about this incredible research that he's done. And again, folks, I cannot encourage you enough to buy this book. It has been so well-read and well-resourced. I got pages or dog-eared. I got little tabs of paper all through it. And I probably pick this book up at least, you know, once a week to reference something. It's just fantastic. The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse. And the website, as we mentioned, is NephilimApocalypse.com. And I will spell that out. So I have something to write with here. www.NephilimApocalypse.com. Patty, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Now, all of these are available, of course, through your website, correct? And I imagine a variety of other places.
Exactly. If you want a signed copy of the Nephilim, you can buy it on my website.
Wonderful.
Otherwise, my new publisher, which is Citadel, they have it out in Barnes & Noble and Borders and other shops.
Fantastic.
And by the way, they have published the book with the pictures in there of those guys with the large privy members.
That's right. Now, those privy members, to those who don't know, who those are, maybe aren't as verbose as you are, my friend, that means penises.
Penises, yeah.
Giant penises.
Is it a schwang? Is that what they call it over there?
It has been known as such.
Okay. Over here they say it's a Mickey.
Okay.
And I have pictures of these guys, and I believe that these pictures are from ancient Greece or ancient Egypt, a couple of them, and that you're looking at an actual Nephilim because it fits in all the categories, extremely good-looking, full of power, and privy members like horses. They were, you know, penises as big as horses, and there's loads of these. I have a book here that I got on the web recently, and it's got pictures of them, and there's just a lot of pictures of these guys all over Egypt. That's one of their credentials.
Well, you know, I'm impressed that they published that because that was the European version prior to
Yeah, that
to
was
this.
The Irish version, yeah. But this is a secular publisher. When my first publisher there was Christian, and they wouldn't wash. And, you know, these guys, I thought they weren't going to do it, but they went ahead and did it anyway. So I don't mind. You know, nobody's ever complained to me about it. I mean, they probably won't sell them in Christian bookshops.
Well, you know, I mean,
they're in Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff at Barnes & Noble. But, no, this is an important part of the story, honestly, because when you're talking about the genetic offspring of fallen angels and human women, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're giants in every sense of the word.
Yeah, and by the way, you mentioned Horus there a little while ago.
Yeah.
I was just talking about Quetzalcoatl and Viracocha down in South America. It was supposed to be the feathered serpent.
I was going to ask you about that, and we're coming up on another break here. We have a legal ID to contend with. But when we come back, I'd like you to address that because I think serpent is such an integral term as far as you describing the fall of man, Adam and Eve in the garden dealing with Lucifer, and they call him a serpent. And then you really go into depth, in great depth with that whole part of the book, explaining, you know, what is meant by serpent and what is meant by, you know, the first prophecy, I guess you could say, spoken by God. Folks, please stay with us. We're going to hold Patrick Heron over here. We'll be back in about 90 seconds with hour number 2 of Frankly Speaking Radio.